If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1158. This is your host, Danny Pena. This is going to be a solo episode, but I have two big interviews for you guys for this episode, and I can't wait for that. But P and Paris are going to be joining us in the future. But remember, Gamescom 2021 Xbox stream is going to be hosted by our very own Paris Liddy, and that's going to happen Tuesday, August 24th at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am planning to stream the event on Twitch, so make sure to tune in and go there, twitch.tv/GamerTagRadio. I'm going to be there commentating and just live reaction of all the announcements there, man, so get ready for that. All right, for this episode, it's going to be a very good one, man, because two games is coming out in a couple days, and one of them is a Psychonauts 2 and also Aliens Fireteam Elite, which is also coming out for all consoles and everything, right? So I decided to record an interview with Cold Iron Studios. They are the developers of Aliens Fireteam Elite. And also I talked to our friend at Funhouse, James Willems. We had a conversation about his love about Psychonauts, and we talk a little bit about Psychonauts 2 because I also have the game. He's been playing it, but also he is in the game. He's a character, and also his wife, Elise, she's in it too. So we talked about his journey, how he discovered Psychonauts, how he got the part. You know, the story about that is fascinating, but also his experience, you know, working with Tim Schafer and you know, the whole Double Fine team over there. So great, great interview. This is very long. I think each is like 30 minutes plus. So I'm going to play it here. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on any podcast app. All you have to do, super easy, is go to your app, search for Gamertag Radio, subscribe, follow us, and if you can, post a review. Now, we've been getting voice messages from people, from our listeners worldwide, asking us questions, and we're going to use this on a future episode of GTR. Make sure to continue to do that. Ask us questions, feedback, everything. Everything. Continue doing that, right? And I'm going to play it on the show when once I have Pete and also or Paris on the show so we can answer your questions. So keep it up. Great questions, by the way. So if you would like to be part of our fan mail episode or segment, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're going to start with this interview first with James, and we talked about Psychonauts 2, his character, all that. And again, there's a small details about Psychonauts 2 in the future. We're planning to do like a review, everything. So I'm still playing it. I've been playing it now since like last week. So stay tuned for that. But let's play this interview. And once we come back, we're going to take a short commercial break, and then we'll come back and continue the interviews with Cold Iron Studios about Aliens Fireteam Elite. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're here at Gamertag Radio, and I have a special guest. Look, I've been in this podcast now multiple times, and all the way from actually super close by, but from Funhouse, we have James here, man. James, what's
hey,
up,
Danny.
Man?
I am happy to be here on your podcast now.
Yes, yes, it's been a while. We got to hang out a couple of times and everything, and let me tell you, I am super excited to talk to you about Psychonauts 2, man. And I know you're a huge fan of Psychonauts overall. You've always been talking about it not only on your show, but also publicly on social media and everything, man, on YouTube and everything, man. So, yeah, so that's the main reason why I wanted to invite you here, man. Just like talk about the experience. Like, how was it? The process. Because I saw the video that you posted a couple days ago. It was very inspiring, man, seeing that. Very, very inspiring.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing about that video is that, so Two-Player Productions, they do a lot of the Psychonauts and the Double Fine documentaries, so like stuff for their, you know, Fig campaigns and also just for their YouTube channel. They make these really incredible documentaries. And they and this is after I had, like, done the VO. They reached out and they're like, hey, we want to cut together something about, like, you know, your story with Psychonauts. And I was like, you want to cut, like, because it's something I was, like, thinking, like, should I do this? Should I do something on my own? I mean, you said I'm a huge Psychonauts fan. I am. I don't know if I'm the biggest fan. I'm definitely the loudest fan. I'm maybe too humble to assume I'm the biggest fan because there's so many people out there that I've come across that, you know, they're like, oh, my gosh, I love this game, too. I just never get to talk about it as loudly as you do. But they approached me and said, like, hey, we're cutting together this thing. Are you okay with that? And I was like, sure, yeah, like, absolutely. I was like, anything I can do to help broadcast this game, like, the first game meant so much to me. It still means so much to me. And I'm so excited for there to be more. Anything I can do to help. And then they said, awesome. And then they were like, here you go. And, like, just gave me this amazing thing. Like, they showed me a rough cut a 2 weeks ago or whatever. And I was like, this is incredible. And they're like, yeah, you can put it up if you want to. And I was like, what?
Nice.
You just
better.
Made something better than I've, like, ever done. And then you just give it to me to put up. So all credit to Two Player Productions and Double Fine for that video. But yeah, it was wild to look at it all in 9 minutes, you know?
Yeah, and I thought it was you guys that produced. I was like, man, they're really taking this.
I know. Everyone was surprised. Everyone was like, I didn't know James was capable of something that good. Turns out I'm not.
So. Yeah, it's all good. No, but for those that doesn't know anything about Psychonauts, there's a whole generation that never got the opportunity to play the first game. Mm-hmm. What you could tell us about the game and why that game is so important to you as a fan?
So the original Psychonauts is an action platformer. You know, it came out when that genre was extremely popular. There's all kinds of stuff that you've seen that, you know, from your Banjo-Kazooies, Super Mario 64, is like the action platformer is like a thing. But what made this game really unique was, number one for me, the fact that the world is mental based. So every level that you go to for the game is inside the mind of someone who's dealing with some sort of psychosomatic issues. Not necessarily like wild trauma, but like just things. And to be able to proceed in the real world, you have to go into their mind and solve the manifestation of their issues in this level. And for me, that always felt like such a creative thing. I mean, just from a pure psychological standpoint, it's creative, but I also think from a narrative, empathetic storytelling perspective, it's like so creative. You get to see, you know, if you walk around the world and you think about, like, oh, what's this person actually dealing with? If I could go into their head and see, I would probably have a better understanding of who they are and why they think the way they think. And that's what the whole game is about. It's so much fun, and I just love it. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, I can't think of any other game that actually talks about that. You know, so because I was actually playing Psychonauts 2. And Rihanna, you know, she's seen clips of the first game. She never played it. Mm-hmm. And she was asking me questions about it. And she's like, wait a minute, so is this like about mental health and everything? I'm like, yo, this is a very deep game, man. If you have to sit down and play it and learn more about the story, it's actually pretty deep.
Yeah, absolutely. You can dig into it. And that's something, you know, my first playthrough of the game, I was just like, this is so much fun. My favorite game probably up to that point was Super Mario 64. Super Mario 64 is still a game I can endlessly go back to and love to play and enjoy. I've beaten it I don't know how many times. Every time they re-release it, I play through it again. But this game just had like this extra layer. So when I was playing through Psychonauts the first time, I was like, oh, I love the setting. It's like summer camp. It feels kind of like weird Tim Burton. Like the style was like so unique and different. Mm-hmm. It has a leveling system. So it, in some ways it feels like a Metroid type, you know. And so I was like, oh, I love all this stuff. You know, it just feels like the more you play it, the more you discover. Beat it, and then went back, and I was like, ah, there's so much more to do. And in doing that more, like you said, like you start to dig up other things. Like you find the extra layers behind what the surface layers. And I always point out that the best example of this is Mia, who is this fun-loving, you know, Brazilian club dancing, happy-go-lucky person. And on your first playthrough or whatever of her level, mm-hmm. you'll find a little bit of her memories, and it shows like, oh, she used to, like, you know, run this orphanage, or she goes on adventures and she had this orphanage or whatever. And then as you come back to the level later with new powers and you can actually go deeper into her mind, you'll find that she actually deals with some like trauma. Like she is definitely trying to recover from something emotionally and mentally. Mm-hmm. And not that bubbly persona is that. It's not like it's a compromise, but it's just like you don't always realize what's under the surface unless you actually go looking for it. And that's like what the game's all about. It's like really fun. And it's a game that rewards you for exploring it further. So I'm very lucky that I've played it so many times.
Yeah, man. And how was it for you playing part two after all these years of like, please release part two, please? And then I know in the story, the documentary where they talked about your experience that you were at the Game Awards, and that's when they made the first mm-hmm. announcement, and you were like, what? In shock. So yeah. Now that you got to play like a preview of the game, how's it feel, man, to finally see that it's coming? It's coming out.
It's wild, too, because I played it shortly after it came out. When the first one came out, I played it pretty soon after it came out. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have that hindsight of knowing, like, oh, it's not going to sell well, or, you know, or people aren't going to find this game until 10 years from now. Like, you don't know. And the first game ends with somewhat of a cliffhanger. It's a cliffhanger, but it's more like, oh my gosh, there's so much more to this world. I can't wait to see it. Mm-hmm. And so when I first beat it, I was like, man, they got to do like a Saturday morning cartoon, Psychonauts Saturday morning cartoon. If there's a comic book, like this could be a world. And I was always excited for that. And then just like nothing happened. There wasn't any more of that world.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that was like, ah. You know, you can imagine it, but it also, it pales in comparison to what that really truly could be. So when I booted up the preview for Psychonauts 2, that was the first thing that came and hit me. It happened with the existence of Rhombus of Ruin as well, but like more specifically this, because it's like the actual sequel.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, this is it. This is the world. We get to see Psychonauts HQ. We get to meet all these characters that they're constantly talking about, like that are referenced in deep text within the first game.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get to see like what the rest of the world, if summer camp looks this cool and looks this fun, mm-hmm. what does a casino look like, you know, or what? And so that's what you get to do in Psychonauts 2 was the first thing that I noticed. Then the second thing I noticed was, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's awesome.
And he took the style that first game had, which I still, again, not the right person to ask, but I feel like held up pretty well because it was non-traditional and it like utilized, you know, blocky shapes and stuff. It's just, I feel like it's aged pretty well, better than some other games that go for photorealism or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And so to age that up and then put it like in the Unreal Engine. And now it's like it's the same Raz, but like his jacket floats and his powers like flash, the lighting all over the place, you know, the things, the texture of the world. It's like that's the next thing I noticed. I was like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be so much fun.
Yeah.
And so I ate through that preview. I just destroyed it.
That's good.
And
at the same time you stop, you're like, I think this is enough.
Yeah,
no spoilers.
I did stop. I got to the point in the preview where I found my character.
Yeah, which was a pretty cool. It was pretty cool seeing that. I found it too.
Good. I'm glad. Well, so that whole process. I don't know if we want to get into that.
Well, we will.
Other thing. Okay. That was surreal for me, just because you know, when I was going to be a voice, when I was overjoyed to be a voice in the game, I was like, you know, it's gonna be so much fun, because like I'll be playing as Raz, and then I'll walk into the background of this like one scene, because in the first game there's so much you can interact, all the campers have stories and voices and everything like that, but mm-hmm. you can avoid 99% of them if you want to. I was like, but no, I'm gonna find myself in the game. Lo and behold, you need to find me.
Yes, it's part of the story.
I
was like, whoa, I thought it was like a side quest or something. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I interact with Raz, which is something that like when Tim said, here's the script, I went, wait, there must be a mistake here. Raz is in this scene. And he's like, I know, you're a story mission. And I was like, what?
Wow, that's awesome.
So, yeah, it's
that's
crazy.
Really cool. Yeah, like this game, I could easily see this like on a Netflix, having like a Netflix series, right? Mm-hmm. I could definitely see that. And the soundtrack, it has this like the Incredibles vibe.
Oh yeah,
right? Pixar, yeah, sure. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I can see that 100%. If it happens, I'll be the first one to watch it for sure. Now go ahead.
I was just gonna say one thing, because like again, years and years ago when I was sitting there thinking like, oh my gosh, there should be more of this, I always thought there should be a television show. And then there is a show. I watched a little bit of it called Camp Lazlo. Mm-hmm. It was a cartoon show. And the style, if you look at the style of it, you're like, oh my God, this could be Psychonauts. This show is completely different than that. It's a great show in its own right. Mm-hmm. But I just remember when Camp Lazlo came out, I was like, it should have been Psychonauts.
Yeah.
It should have been a Psychonauts show. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's cool. It's cool. Now with, you know, Xbox acquired Double Fine, I think there is a possibility to see that in the future. I hope that happens. So, mm-hmm. But I was going to ask you, you know, you play the original Psychonauts on the original Xbox back in the early days, right?
Mm-hmm.
This version, there's so many out, so it's going to be a different version. So it's going to be the PS5, PlayStation, Xbox. Mm-hmm. Is the Switch too or no? I'm not sure.
No,
I know PC. Heard. PC is available too.
Yeah, it's definitely PC. But yeah, I haven't heard anything about Switch, which is interesting, because I've always said that if they re-released Psychonauts on Switch, is like the one platform that it's not made its way to.
Yeah.
I would get it again. Play that on the toilet.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And support that too. I think the Switch audience is a different beast, man. It's a mm-hmm. totally different beast compared to like Xbox and PlayStation fans. But, the question I was going to ask you, like, which version are you going to play, man, for Psychonauts 2 for you?
Well, the preview I downloaded on Game Pass on PC.
On PC.
And so I'm planning on playing it on either my Xbox or PC. I'm not sure. Does it share? Like if I play on
crossplay, it shares crossplay for PC and Xbox. I don't know about the other consoles, but yeah.
So that's probably what I think I'm gonna do, is I'm gonna try and play it on a nice TV. When I can, but then like in the downtime, I don't want to take up at least my partner, my wife's like television all the time. When I need to go and do all the collectible stuff, I'll probably just like plop down on my PC and play the rest there.
Yeah, but no spoilers, but I'm really enjoying the game. It's really, really good. Cool. Good vibes. Good. And I'm taking my time doing some side quests here and there and the main quest, but story mm-hmm. is top notch. Love it. Yeah. Now, how was the process for you reading the script and getting into this? Like, because I think you guys did a pretty good job with the voice acting of the characters, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Really I genuinely appreciate that. I this is gonna sound really lame, but like, I mean, I have performed in things before, but anytime something like legitimate comes along, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna ruin this.
You get nervous? You get super nervous?
I get nervous less that I'm going to do a bad job, but that my good job won't be good enough, if that makes sense. That's that's how I feel about a lot of things when it's like time to go. Because I do put in work, I practice, and I'm like, oh, I think I can do this. But then ultimately, I'm like, I don't think that my good enough is going to be good enough. So I'm glad. Thank you for saying that. I genuinely appreciate that. But the whole process, honestly, was also really surreal, too, because, yeah, the only reason it happened, because like we said earlier, I'm, you know, the loudest Psychonauts fan. I as soon as I had a platform and people started watching the videos that I made or caring about what I think, I started telling people play Psychonauts. And every time it went on sale, I would buy it again. I own it on every conceivable platform, and I would also do like giveaways and stuff. And so it became kind of known within like the community that like, I am the Psychonauts guy. I love Psychonauts, which is true. Mm-hmm. And so at some point there was a question in one of our question and answer shows that said, if you could be in any video game, what would it be? And I said, I would be a voice in Psychonauts 2, mostly because that would mean that Psychonauts 2 would have to exist.
Yes.
That was the idea behind it. Mm-hmm. So Psychonauts 2. But that being said, I would voice, and at the time I was like, what's the lowliest thing I could think of? And I said, a toilet, and not even like the first toilet, like toilet number 4. Like that's how far down the cast list that I belong. Yeah. And so I was like, I would absolutely do that. Fast forward, I don't even know how many years. I'm lucky enough to attend the Game Awards. Mm-hmm. And there, the lights go down and a trailer starts. And it's very vague. Like if you watch that first Psychonauts teaser, it's intentionally vague at first until the general says, send in the Psychonauts. And I was like,
So you were like, wait a minute, is this for real?
it didn't make any sense to me. And I was like, are you kidding me? And then it played the music and I was like, oh my God, they're doing another Psychonauts. And while this was happening, my wife, Elise, was taking a photo of me reacting to it.
So she's very genuine. So she took that right after they said Psychonauts.
She's smart. She's smart. But she was like, oh, this means a lot to him. And so she's like, I want to capture this moment because this is going to mean a lot to him. And so she immediately took a picture of me genuinely reacting to the announcement of a game that I never thought would ever exist existing. And then she, I believe, tweeted that out as just like Psychonauts 2. And then the way I've been told is that as they were ramping up their Fig campaign, they were just trying to see what people thought. Like, were people excited for this? Was this going to work? Did people not care or whatever? Mm-hmm. And one of the things they saw was that image.
That's really cool.
And so they're like, oh, cool, James, this guy really seems excited. And then the other thing that they saw was the amazing positive members of the community who immediately remembered that video where I said I'd voice a toilet. And in kind of a fun, self-deprecating way, were like, we got to get James in this game because we need James to be a toilet. Like, you know, it's supportive,
yeah,
but in that like kind of like brotherly kind of like picking on kind of way. And so they were like, we got to get James in this game and get him a toilet. So then they started and no one was, I've talked to Double Fine. No one was malicious. No one was like threatening or whatever. It was just a swell of positivity that like came out. Like, please, please do some, whatever you can do. James is a toilet. And then at a certain point, I started talking with Double Fine, became a part of the Fig campaign. Because again, I'll do anything I can to raise awareness for them. This wasn't even about the toilet for me. If I can get more people to want this game to exist, then I get to play it. And then so I became a part of the Fig campaign, and then the community smashed that goal. And then Double Fine was like, all right, we'll put you in the game.
Yeah.
But then even that was years ago. That was so, because that's how long games take.
Yeah, you know, very long time.
I'm someone who plays them. I don't make them. I just love them. But like that's how long games take. And that was years ago. And so I would be in touch with them, and everyone at Double Fine is amazing. I was lucky enough to meet them at one of those campaign perks rewards, was going to summer camp with mm-hmm. Double Fine. Mm-hmm. And one of the amazing people in the community donated the absurd amount of money that you needed to donate, and then wrote my name in.
Wow.
That way I could go.
Hardcore.
And I reached out to them. I was like, listen, this is your thing. Like, you could do it. They're like, nope, I have no interest. I just want you to go. And I was like, all right. And so I basically got to go to camp with the team. And that was like the first time I get to spend time with the people who are working on Psychonauts 2. Mm-hmm. And many of them had worked on Psychonauts 1, and really get to know them, which was also, I don't know, there's just so many hidden perks. The experience was a lot like playing Psychonauts, where at its most surface level, you're like, God, this is just really fun. And then as soon as you look below the surface, you're like, God, there's a lot of passion and great, great people behind this. So
yeah, you got to see it at E3 when they were having previews? Oh, no. Because we got to see it over there for the first time.
I don't think I got... I didn't get to play it until the hands-on preview.
Okay.
I did get. They did help me get to play Rhombus of Ruin early, though.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
Because I know that, because again, it started and it was like Psychonauts 2 is coming, and they're like, but first, Rhombus of Ruin is going to come out.
Yeah.
And so Rhombus of Ruin came out, and I remember there was an E3 where I got to go play that early.
Mm-hmm.
But then I didn't own VR, so it came out, and I was it's like PSVR, and it came out, and I was like, it's there.
Yeah. That's cool, man. And how'd your wife got involved too, to be part of the voice acting for mm-hmm. one of her characters too in the game?
So part of the fun is that, like, in them doing things for me, Elise is also has a public facing person. She's a public facing personality, and mm-hmm. so they had reached out to her secretly as well.
Really,
they wanted to do some stuff to surprise me. And so they kind of developed a rapport, and she also is infinitely more talented than I am, so I completely understand. But when it came around for the time to actually do the VO, mm-hmm. they reached out and they said, all right, we know what character we want you to be, and we are curious. Do you think Elise would want to be in the game as well? And so then I got this in an email, and then I immediately went over to Elise at her desk, and I said, is there nothing I can't have for myself? must you take everything from me? But I was obviously joking, because I do love doing stuff with her. I know she's super talented, and I love when people get to see how talented she is.
Yeah.
And the idea of getting to like be in this game and like leave our mark on this franchise together is like really, really great. She loves the game too, but she'll be the first to tell you, not as wildly as I do.
Yeah.
She thinks it's an amazing game and she loves it. And she sat with me and watched me play it and stuff like that. So, but yeah, to do it with her is great. And I think they just kind of identified that, like, oh, well, if we're going to get James, Elise is more talented than he is. Maybe we can get her too.
Yeah. Well, I have to mention this. Like, when I found your character and I was listening to the voice, like, you could tell, like, the excitement that you guys had mm-hmm. while recording that, right? So the video that you guys posted where it looks like you were recording it from home and mm-hmm. Tim was watching the whole time. Were you actually nervous and you recorded the whole thing from home, or how was that part?
Yeah, I mean, it happened, you know, during quarantine. And so I think the original intention was, oh, we'll get you in a studio. Maybe we'll fly you up to Double Fine, or maybe, you know, Tim will come down to LA and then we'll do like a studio session or whatever. And then that just wasn't going to happen. And so then I'm lucky enough that, for my own work, I have a pretty good setup here mm-hmm. with a working microphone, and I know how to set up software and stuff like that. And so they were like, if you don't mind, we would love to be able to get this done and we can do it remotely. But yeah, it was essentially a Skype call.
Skype. Tim, okay, nice.
With Tim directing us. And yeah, it was weird. It was definitely weird because like you don't have any idea what's necessary for it, especially with voice acting. It's just such a thing. And then to be sitting in your own home and like sitting at your own desk and trying to do a voice or a character we recorded our parts separately, but we were both sitting together at the time so we could like feed each other lines and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's also awkward too, because then the other person is nervous. It's just like, nerves on nerves. But again, I read that script again and again and again and again and again. Like, I read it as much as possible beforehand and, you know, just made sure that I had some idea what I was doing. And then, you know, when Tim was like, oh, try a little bit less, you know, old rich. Try a little new rich, or try a little bit more, you know, fun rich, or whatever, less menacing, or whatever. I was like,
yeah, but you know what? I was looking at that, watching that video, and Tim had this serious face. He was just like trying to vibe with the with the recording, right? Just vibe, and that's how you can tell that he's like, yeah, change it up. But listening to the audio, is very well mixed down, because I'm always listening, you know. I love that part. Yeah. And your voice changed. It looked like they added some sound effects, so it could be a little bit different, but you could tell it was you and her. Mm-hmm. You could definitely tell right away. So I
got to do Predator Hunting Grounds. Came out 2 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. And I got to do voice acting in that game.
Nice.
But that game is, you know, you're playing as nameless soldier in the jungle or whatever, since it's multiplayer. Mm-hmm. So most of my is just like, get down, grenades out, like it's just like that kind of stuff.
And
I actually felt a lot better, because when that final game came out and I heard myself in the game, I was like, oh, they pitched me down. Definitely did not have the voice of a 260 pound like jungle marine. But you can still like hear some of your performance in it too, so it's not like
Well, we have a couple more minutes here, but I want to ask you this question, because I think it's very important. When you played the first game, when you knew that this game was special to you?
That is a fantastic question, and I think the answer for me is Lungfishopolis. The first time you go into the mind of Linda the lungfish, it is basically a kaiju film. The world that you're in, it's like a coastal, you know, Tokyo kind of Asian inspired city. And now you, up to this point, have always just, it's been like a platformer. Like you're hopping and jumping from platform to platform. Mm-hmm. And this is the first level where they go, nope, jumping is barely a fact. You can't even use some of your abilities anymore. And they've added a climbing mechanic. They changed the physics of that whole level, so that way it felt like you were this heavy big thing, you move slower. And I remember when I played that, I was like, oh my god, like the potential, like imagine if you were playing Super Mario 64 and then you drop into a level and all of a sudden Mario is like, you know, 30 feet tall, and like, you know, just like it's a completely different game. And I was like, oh my gosh, if you could do this, you could do anything. And then from there, I would say that's also the turning point in the game, because once you get to the asylum and you meet those other people, every one of those levels has something in it that's special, that, you know, makes it more than just jump from this platform to that platform and get to the end of it, you know?
Without spoiling it, part two has it too, has that.
Oh, yeah?
That vibe, yeah, yeah, because it not only got my attention, but also my partner's attention too. She's like, oh my god, this is so deep. I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't wait. Yeah. Now, why people should support Psychonauts 2 once it releases?
I mean, I think it's worth giving it a shot. I think that there's a ton of amazing games out there. It's right now, it's impossible. Like, I get so overwhelmed thinking about what should I play? But this is a game that is truly a game. We're in an era where some games have messages and are like these cinematic experiences, but maybe they're less of a game than you'd want them to be. And then we have other games that are just pure games, like, you know, they're Peggles or what have you. This, I feel like, the original and what I've played of the new one, it is a merger of those two. It's a narrative experience that has themes and messages that are important for any one of us, any human being on this planet, to experience and kind of like be like, oh, I understand that, like, or be exposed to. Mm-hmm. But you're going to have fun playing it, which is like the most important thing.
Yes.
There's a lot of games that are like, okay, I get it. You know, like, they can bog you down with that narrative aspect of it. There's others where you get to learn that stuff while running, jumping, and shooting psi blasts out of your eyes, you know, and Psychonauts is that game. And so I just think everyone should give it a shot. I think it's in a beautiful world. I think that if you love Psychonauts 2, you have a whole nother also great game that you can pick up for like 99 cents most of the time, you know, like, so if you're looking for something to play, I think it's a single player experience, which is like harder and harder to find these days. You know, people want games that they can just play and enjoy. And I think you're going to have a blast with it.
And it's on Game Pass. I think that's going to help also push a lot of people to try it out for the first time. So that's good. And yeah, the first absolutely. One is on Game Pass. So yeah.
So yeah, cool. You don't really have any excuse. I think it's fantastic. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. James, I just want to say thanks, man. I know it was like super last minute, but I saw your video and I was very inspired. And I'm like, I want to talk to her about this, man. You know, so it was really cool.
Anytime, man. I'm happy to come on anytime. I know this is a specific topic that I have. I may be a little closer to, but you know, obviously we're friends, and
yeah.
I'm happy to be on anytime you need me.
Yeah. No, let me know next time when you want us, me or Paris, to be on, man. I'd love to.
Yeah.
Chit chat about other things too, man. Because it's going to be a good holiday season. It's a lot of cool games coming out, man. So
absolutely
awesome. Thanks a lot, man.
Take care.
Yeah.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, this episode is sponsored by Namecheap, who is offering all Gamertag Radio listeners an exclusive deal. Get a .live domain name today for only $1.99. .live is the perfect domain and brand name for gamers, live streamers, and esports players. Seamlessly redirect your live streams to Twitch, YouTube, Instagram, or any streaming platform. Promote your .live name in your bio, social posts, live shoutouts, and stream chats, and grow your fan base. But if .live is not for you, Namecheap's got another offer for anyone who is thinking about starting a new website. All GTR listeners can get 30% off any non-premium domain name, including .com and other popular extensions. To access either of the deals, go to Namecheap.com and select any non-premium domain name and enter the code GTR in the promo box at checkout. So you're probably asking, what is Namecheap? I never heard of them, but guess what, man? Namecheap is the world's largest second domain register and the top provider for everything you need to launch an amazing website. Plus, Namecheap has been an industry leader for more than 20 years. Their mission is to make the internet accessible, affordable for everyone. Also, Namecheap offers hundreds of domain extensions from traditional .com and .net to even .gg and .live, which has become a go-to for many gamers and streamers. So now you know about Namecheap. Gamertag Radio listeners, you definitely got to take advantage of this right now while you're listening to this episode. So this is what you have to do. Gamertag Radio listeners, a .live domain for only $1.99. The original price is $20.88 plus 30% off any other non-premium domain name for this first year of registration. The offer cannot be combined with any existing sales, but can overdrive any current sales if it's discounted is less than 30%. So GTR Radio listeners, this is for you right now. Take action right now to get your .live domain name for only $1.99 or enjoy 30% off of any non-premium domain, go to Namecheap.com, search for your desired domain, and use the code GTR at checkout. We'd like to say thanks to Namecheap for offering, for sponsoring this episode of Gamertag Radio.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, everyone, we have Craig and also Matt here. We're going to be talking about the new Aliens Fireteam Elite, and I'm very excited to talk to him about this, man. So, guys, you want to introduce yourself? Let's go with Craig first.
Oh, sure. I'm Craig. I'm head of studio at Cold Iron here.
All right.
Hey, Danny. Matt, creative director, Cold Iron.
All right, man. How excited you guys are, man, that now the game is finally coming out to the public, man. That's going to be... Very excited for you, right? Because you guys have been working on this for a while.
Exciting. Yeah. We're working on something like this, which we're huge fans of. It's a game that we want to play. We just can't wait to get it out to the public.
We've been having a blast playing it, obviously, for a while now, and getting it in players' hands is the end of the road. It's the dream come true, right?
Yeah. No, but I'm gonna go back, man. When you guys first announced the game, the reactions of the fans was kind of crazy, huh?
It's such an amazing franchise, right? It has such a deep and hardcore fan base. It's one of the reasons why when we started talking with 20th Century Fox and they were like, hey, we got Aliens. You want to do something? It's why all of us super fans at Cold Iron Studios just jumped at the opportunity. So, it's so many people really, really love this franchise. And so... We kind of expected when we went out that we'd get some attention, but maybe not as much as we did.
Well, you could tell us about the game for those that don't know anything about it.
So Aliens Fireteam Elite, it is a co-op survival shooter where you and, you know, hopefully two of your friends play as Colonial Marines fighting off the Xenomorph threat. So, you know, team up, jump in, fight a bunch of Xenomorphs and go through this campaign.
What was there anything that you guys learned about the franchise while developing this game that you didn't know? Want to answer that, Matt?
We were big fans before, right? Mm-hmm. And when we started diving into everything outside of the mainline films, right? And we had played other extensions of the franchise, like Alien Isolation is great. There's a lot of great comic books, especially a lot of the recent comics. Started reading more and more of the novels, and we realized how wide and expansive the lore for this universe really is. Mm-hmm. And how many really cool things we had an opportunity to bring into the game. And it was pretty exciting when we realized we weren't just stuck with, you know, one of our favorite films of all time, Aliens, second movie, mm-hmm. but we could start pulling in stuff from Prometheus, from the novels, from the comic books, and really get a really wide look at the franchise all in one game.
Was it the same for you too, Craig?
Oh, sure. I mean, again, fan of the movies, fan of the books and comics for such a long time. It's just fantastic to be able to dive a little bit deeper, get some access to things at 20th Century that maybe not saw the light of day, but helped inspire us with what we wanted to do. So it was really good to get that extra access to be able to look at backstage stuff and other assets. It's fantastic.
Did you guys, from the beginning, knew that you wanted to do something like this, like a squad based game or a co-op? Was it like that, or you guys had other ideas before this, working on this?
Sure. So we make online games. That's what Matt and I, the bunch of Cold Iron Studios, our background is making online co-op experiences. Those are the type of games that we really love. Those are the type of games that we want to play. And when 20th Century approached us about Aliens, immediately the fantasy that we want to play is that second movie, right? The first movie, Alien, it's fantastic. Ridley Scott, it's an amazing horror film, right? And quite frankly, in video games, Alien Isolation did an amazing job of bringing that to life, right? Mm-hmm. For me, Aliens, the Cameron-esque action movie there, right? The big bombastic, tons of xenomorphs, tons of firefights. That's something that that for me and the rest of Cold Iron was kind of missing in video games. And going along with the fact that we wanted to do co-op, we wanted to really make that, you know, that Aliens with an S experience in video games.
Yeah, how about those that don't have friends online? How about, you know, what about those people that they want to have maybe a single player experience? How about that?
Yeah, I mean, we'll matchmake you if you get online. We'll match you up with two other people for your fire team, but you can also play solo offline, and there's some AI synthetics that will join you and go along with you. So you can play solo offline if that's what you're going for.
Yeah. So yeah. What type of features are we going to get to see in the game overall?
So it is a co-op survival shooter. Mm-hmm. I mean, you team up, you go on missions, you fight tons of different enemies across many, many different environments. The campaigns that exist, there are four campaigns, each have three missions. They're all tied together into one big storyline about LV-895, which is kind of where you and your Marine company has been relocated to. That being said, in addition to kind of the expected replayability and whatnot in a co-op survival shooter, we've brought a few new things to the table. So another one of the things that we really want to see within the genre is more experience into the RPG side of things. Mm-hmm. So you can play as different classes, you level these classes up, you can swap them as you want, depending on what enemies you go up against, what other teammates you have on your squad. There are tons of weapons within the game. These also level up, and then you can further customize them with attachments and scopes and magazines and even decals and colorways and stuff like that to really make them your own. So really adding a whole lot of RPG elements to the game also. And then I think one of the features that I'm really excited about getting out there and is something we really enjoy in-house here at Cold Iron is the challenge card system. These are collectible cards that you earn as you play the game. And they're really kind of they're mutators, right? They're the what ifs, allowing you to kind of replay the missions with what if I moved at half speed? What if I only got to take one random gun in? What if, you know, I was taking 2% damage every second throughout the mission? What if I need to complete this mission in 15 minutes? So a lot of things that really kind of mutate and change the gameplay up in weird, interesting ways.
Also, yeah, completing those get you different rewards too. Oh, yeah. So the ones that are the most challenging, you get a lot better rewards with.
Yeah. So I'll
mention a lot of guns. I mean, there's 30 plus guns, mm-hmm. It's like 70 plus attachments that are in there. It's a lot of stuff to upgrade and customize right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, I'm looking at the date. God, time goes fast. September 8th is right around the corner. September 8th, our first season comes out, mm-hmm. Where we add yet another class on top of the launch classes and more guns, more attachments. And that's all free if you buy the
really
base game.
Yeah.
So we're really, really digging into character customization and customizing your loadouts and more of that RPG build your character experience.
Yeah, for you guys, like how important is to have a squad different classes, right? Instead of having like the same class over and over, is it do you think it will be a better experience having everybody as a different class in the game if you put it very difficult?
We've worked on games where there are classes and roles. Obviously, making a really compelling co-op game, you want to make sure that people have different roles, right? They can fill the damage dealer, the support roles, the crowd control sort of roles, right? But what I'm really excited about is getting this into the public's hand and seeing what they're doing. Because each of these kits themselves, each of the classes has multiple different powers. And then you can further customize them as well. So for instance, if you start with the gunner, which is almost our basic Marine class, he has a grenade, then another ability called Overclock. It starts with a normal grenade. You can upgrade it and change that into a remote detonated grenade. You can change it to a concussion grenade. And so there are different things that you can end up doing even within that single class. So I'm actually really excited to see kind of what the community is going to do, what builds they put together to kind of take these fire teams and then go up against the hardest difficulties in the game, where there's, you know, a ton of friendly fire, massive amounts of acid damage, and the Xenos just burn you down. So I think part of the joy of developing this sort of game is seeing what the community does with it afterwards.
Yeah, because yeah. I know you mentioned about first season, and I know there's going to be more seasons in the future. Is that means that we're going to see more of like a new story too, or just more cosmetics and stuff like that that we're going to get to see in the future?
So we're looking at the first season comes out with Phalanx, which is the new class with he carries a shield, which is freaking awesome. There's also going to be new game modes and other gameplay centric updates. Each one of them is going to have something big for fans to chew on.
Yep. Right. Even the day one patch, we added Horde mode with the day one patch, along with a whole bunch of optimizations. But we really do want to make sure that we're adding not just some cosmetics and rewards here and there, but kind of chunky things each season.
Yeah, I'm down for some Horde mode. Let's go. I'll go with that. Now, is there in the game, is there any new type of enemies that is not in the franchise that you guys added in there too? What you could tell us about that?
Ooh.
If it's possible, no spoilers.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, I think there's going to be spoilers, so probably turn it off now. I mean,
yeah,
like we mentioned, the universe is so expansive, right? We Xenos are the core of it, the heart, right? So we focused on those. We have over 10 of Xenomorphs that are unique and interesting. Outside of that, I think you've seen gameplay probably or played it already of fighting Weyland-Yutani synthetics. And that's where you get to dig into the cover system that's in our game and more of the ranged combat. And at a certain point in storyline, you start encountering the black goo, the pathogen that the engineers unleashed in Prometheus and Covenant, and seeing what that does to native life and to the poor scientists that have been left down on the planet. There's just so much variety of what you get to fight as a colonial marine here. Mm-hmm. It's gives you a lot of different chances to play with those classes, like Craig was talking about, and a lot of different experiences that I've always wanted as a fan to see in the films. But now we get to like actually experience them here.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure that each campaign had different and new enemies in it. As you went through the game and as you chose to go back and replay those. And to kind of fill that out, we just got to go through the franchise, go through the universe, go through the extended universe, and kind of pick and choose things from, you know, the novels, the comics, obviously the movies, even other video games, to kind of fold that stuff in to make sure that we had a huge amount of variety, but that each one of them had their like own AI, the own behavior, the way that they acted and attacked the players, to make sure that it's always fresh and fun.
What about music? Because I love soundtrack. Is that also from the original, or this also going to be new type of music in there too in the game?
Oh man, heavily inspired by the original films. But you know, we were looking for a composer that could do it justice. You probably know we got Austin Wintry. He's of Journey fame. Journey isn't quite the same thematic elements of of Aliens, but you know, we were a fan of his other work, and when we talked to him, he has Alien stuff adorning his walls that I'm pretty sure he didn't put up there just for the first chat with
just
us.
for the meeting, right?
Yeah, and he's gone above and beyond. The music is truly something we're really, really, really proud of in the game, and unique soundscape for each one of those campaigns that takes place in a different environment.
Awesome. That was really, really cool. Now, I know you guys mentioned about these special cards that will make the game more difficult. Which one is your favorite out of all those for each one of you guys?
So, I mean, I just like chaos. So there's one that turns all the runners. The runners are the quadruped dog-like aliens from Alien 3. And there's a lot of them, right? They're the fodder, the main fodder from the Xenos. Turns all of those into bursters, which is a new Xeno that's flooded with acid sacs. And when you kill it, it explodes and leaves a big area of denial on the ground that you have to avoid. And putting it on intense or extreme difficulty where the acid damage really eats at you, and then using the challenge card that turns them all into bursters. It's pretty messed up to do to your friends.
How about you, Craig?
Oh man, I keep trying to think of the one that's my favorite, but there's so many. I think for me, I like the ones that there's part of the Aliens lore, right? The Aliens franchise, where you're trying to do something and it seems like a good plan, and then everything goes wrong, or like one little thing goes wrong and it ruins it. Mm-hmm. And there are a few challenge cards that kind of throw those kind of curveballs at you. There's one where every once in a while, just randomly, your gun will jam, and then you'll need to reload it several times in order to get it unjammed. And it sounds interesting, but then you're like right in the middle of a firefight and keeping the enemies off of your friends, and then your gun jams. There's another one where, you know, your motion tracker, which is really important as enemies are closing in all around you, that just goes offline and malfunctions every once in a while too. So I think that those are the ones that push you over the edge just a little bit more are the ones that I like the most.
There's also a couple that are just only aesthetic. One that makes your whole game looks like it's a pixel art game. And
hey, I'm down with that too.
Kind of fantastic to play through.
It's like old school, right? Old school right there. Yeah, that sounds cool. Now, how much freedom did the studio give you guys to work on this game? Were they like picky, like, no, I think we should stick on this? Or it was like, you know what? We'll give it to you guys. Go for it. Go all out.
Oh, it was both really, really exciting and really daunting, the amount of freedom that 20th Century gave us. And so when we started on the game, they were like, okay, we want to make sure that you move the storyline forward after Alien 3 and then come up with something that's original that you guys want to do, and really gave us a lot of freedom. Now, I think part of it is that they really understood what big fans of the franchise we are and how into it we are. I think that we find internally that we check ourselves a whole lot more than 20th Century or Disney does in terms of making sure that this game is authentic and feels right and is really true to the universe.
Yeah, I know people are probably going to be asking, like, are we going to get to see any crossplay with other platforms, or this is more cross-gen?
But launch, cross-gen, cross-play is something that we'd love to add later. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that would be cool. Because I have friends that they're in the PC, and I'm a console guy, so I want to play with them too. Yeah.
Yeah. So at launch, we're doing cross-gen and free upgrades from last-gen console to next-gen console.
Yeah, yeah.
We know those are kind of hard to get sometimes still.
How difficult was it for you guys working on this title, you know, during the pandemic last year, you know, because, you know, everybody's at home. Was it tough for you guys as a team?
I think it's been tough for everybody in the world, right? I mean, we're going through a lot of the same challenges everybody is. But man, our team was we're very small. I mean, we have 40 to 50 people. We were very tight knit before the pandemic. So when we went home, it was arguably a lot easier than maybe some other people had it, keeping our flow going. And, you know, just like every other challenge in game development, we found a way around it. And we've actually found ways to really improve our process. Like we all hang out on Discord all day. And it's kind of great. It's a little bit better than being in an office because you can have everybody's screen up at the same time. And when you want to look over and collaborate with somebody, it's one button click. It's not, I'm showing how lazy I am. It's not walking 100 feet across the studio. But yeah, I mean, we all really miss hanging out right next to each other. But it's also opened up our studio for really figuring out how to get remote work working. And we have people all across the United States now. It's something that we were able to invest in over the last year and develop like a really successful remote work situation. And I think no matter what ends up happening with COVID and stay at home, we're in a better spot now as a healthy studio than we were before.
That's good. And I'm glad everybody's safe too. So, I hope you guys can celebrate together in person safely. That would be awesome. Yes. Right. Yeah,
we got a few people still in San Jose, and we're gonna try to figure something out. Yeah. But you know, people have become experts at Discord parties now. So
yeah, so for those that never got the opportunity to play the beta version of this, because I know it came out was it a month ago or so? But they seen, you know, clips and they seen the trailer. Why they should buy this game?
Oh man. You're asking us for like the corporate elevator pitch.
The corporate, let's go.
Man, yeah. I mean, I'll tell you why I would buy the game. I'm a fan of Aliens, but I'm a fan of shooters and having a good time with friends in video games and being able to load this up for $40, which is, in my opinion, just an insane price. That's great. And there's a really, really good place for that now. $40, play with two other friends, have a blast. You get 4 campaigns of 3 missions each of campaign storyline and then horde mode on top of that. There's just so much to do in the game. And man, it's just unbeatable fun for $40.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly what Matt said. As much effort as we put into and you know to try to make this a love letter to the franchise, at its core, it's a really, really fun co-op game, and just sitting down and playing with your friends, that to me is kind of the core experience of the game.
Yeah. Now I just want to say congratulations to you guys, and I can't wait to see the public also to try this game, man. I'm very, very excited to see you.
Yeah, man. We're excited.
Thanks so much. A
couple days now, man.
Yeah. The countdown. Let's go.
I know.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Bye. Thanks.
Thanks, right. Danny.
No problem.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right. So that's it, guys. Thank you for listening to episode 1158. Thanks to everybody that but that was also part of the show. Great discussion. Please, for those who are listening, send us your feedback, your thoughts about both interviews. There's one big interview coming up in the future. I can't say what it is just yet. I recorded this a couple days ago, but I think you guys are going to like it. It's a very good one. Very, very good one. So, and also, I have a couple of cool stuff lined up coming up in the future. So that's going to be exciting. Can't wait for that. All right, but thank you so much for listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1158. Remember, guys, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Listen to the episodes through there. Subscribe, post a review. It will help us out so much. And also share the content. I think that will be great to get the word out about GTR. All right, until next time, we'll see you later this week. I'm going to have another recording, and we're going to talk about everything about Gamescom. Also, Xbox announcements is happening August 24th. And remember, tune in. Go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio August 24th at 10 a.m. Pacific. I'll be there co-streaming the event. Until next time, we are out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.